Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
It is September 6th, 2024, the final SmackDown on Fox. I'm Glenn Rubenstein of the Wrestling Inc. podcast here with Flobo Boyce. Man. The two of us covering the end of an era.
Yeah. Five years.
Now, 2019 feels like it was in the 20th century. That's how long ago it was.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, SmackDown opened on Fox with Brock Lesnar defeating Kofi Kingston.
I was there.
The WWE Championship.
I was there.
And tonight we ended not with a bang, but a whimper.
It's a whimper?
Well, of an eight-man tag.
Fair enough.
Eight-man tag kind of screams, nah, we don't really care about this. Enjoy this house show match.
Fair enough. Yeah.
Yeah. But next week, SmackDown comes back to the USA Network. And they're pulling out all the stops, baby.
I guess, you know, I like SmackDown in USA, but it kind of feels like, well, what are we going to expect? You know what I mean? Like, is it going to be that much of an elevated show, or is it going to be business as usual?
Well, we're not going to be cutting to black when someone's got a sign in the audience that they don't want to put on screen. That was annoying tonight.
Yeah, yeah.
What did the sign say?
I don't even know.
Can we even say it on this podcast?
It's one of those things where you're kind of like watching it, but not intently watching it. And then when it goes black, you're like, what'd I miss?
Yeah, I know. They can't even keep the audio on during it. They just cut the feed.
Absolutely.
It's that dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So before we dive into the final SmackDown, what is going on in the news?
Man, huge news week here on the Wrestling Inc. news desk. Musician Wesley Eisel, the American Nightmare himself, is making sure that he get his bag. There was a license agreement signed years ago involving Cody Rhodes, where he can use the phrase American Nightmare. The deal was that if the American Nightmare were a pair of any of Cody's merch, it would have to be a certain size and include the phrase Cody Rhodes. Well, apparently the musician, Wesley Eisel, felt like they were in breach as merchandise does not comply with the agreement, so he's looking for damages. The American Nightmare is getting sued by American Nightmare.
I mean, copyrights and trademarks are an interesting thing.
Sure is.
And what's interesting about them is they're by category, but not by genre. So, for instance, there's a famous, in some circles, legal dispute over the trademark to a lowercase g.
Really?
And you know who had the trademark for both t-shirts? For t-shirts?
Is it Glenn Rubenstein?
No, both Garth Brooks and Warren G. And they came together long before the days of Lil Nas X and Billy Ray Cyrus. Warren G and Garth Brooks came together and said, you know what? Our audiences are separate. They didn't say we should do a song together, but instead they said we can share this trademark to the letter G on a t-shirt because you have the hip-hop audience. Garth as the country audience.
It was separate back then, am I right?
They were able to make it work.
Mm-hmm.
Cody, not so much. T-shirt is a t-shirt is a t-shirt, and doesn't matter if it's wrestling or fans of the musician, the American Nightmare. American Nightmare got it first, and he gonna get paid. Now, you know what's interesting? You know, Gene Simmons, trademark of Kiss fame, trademarked the money bag, the bag with a money dollar sign on it, the money bag symbol.
Really?
So every time somebody wants to put out a record or a t-shirt or anything with the money bag symbol, you got to pay Gene Simmons.
That's just, I mean, it's clever, but so stupid. That belongs to the people. Come on.
Trademarks. So American Nightmare, you know, and now he's going after WWE.
Right.
Because it's not just Cody. If it was Cody, it's one thing, but WWE got deep pockets. I'm sorry. You know, I bet you he's secretly hoping they like give him $1 million just to buy the trademark.
And that's the thing. It makes you wonder, had they just complied, he would have to just take his 30 grand and chill with it. But now, yeah, that was me. And I found an opening. Not saying this is the reason, but if I was me and I found an opening, best believe I would get my money, you know?
Yeah. I mean, as long as he's not asking for bajillion dollars, I bet you they'll just settle this.
Well, you ask the bajillion and then settle for less.
I am outraged. This is costing me so much income from people that are confused in the marketplace. They want to support the American Nightmare musician and instead buy a Cody Rhodes shirt thinking it's going to me, but it's going to WWE. Give me half his shit. Sorry.
Here's a hot take, though. Yeah. If Cody cannot long use the American Nightmare, does his aura change? I don't think so.
No. In fact, the American Nightmare makes no sense with him as a babyface.
True. I agree.
I mean, like, it's a cool name. If I was Cody, I would, and WWE, I would call the bluff and say, you know what? Cody Rhodes, big enough brand as it is, we're not doing that nightmare shtick anymore. Mm-hmm. Trademark's all yours, buddy.
Yeah. The American Night Terror. I don't know. Cody. I like it.
What else is going on?
Well, Roman Reigns had a chance to talk about the idea of WWE moving over to Netflix and what that means to adult-themed storytelling, even though they're going to be flirting with PG versus TV-14, because frankly, Netflix is kind of a hybrid media location. It has television, it has a media thing as well, but the idea of the threshold of doing more adult themes. Roman Reigns basically said, and I'm paraphrasing here, it's great, it's a challenge to have these adult themes in wrestling, but you can't go too far without turning people away from the product. What say you, Glenn?
I mean, how adult is it really? I mean, Lana tried to get Enzo up to a hotel room so Rusev could beat the crap out of him.
Right.
Like, what else have we had that was like potentially?
Just a lot of the promos are kind of mean. And like, the thing is, I don't mind this as an adult, but I wonder, my theoretical nieces and nephews, there isn't like a Saturday morning show anymore. So I have to bring them to watch Raw and everyone's saying, I have girls like me and mommy's on top. Like, I get it. I mean, it doesn't bother me.
Suggestive.
But 4 and 5 year olds shouldn't hear that. Maybe 6 or 7. I mean, but 4 and 5. No, I couldn't. I don't lie. You know.
No, I get it. With the Rhea Dom stuff, that was a little risque, perhaps. Entendres were perhaps doubled.
Yeah.
But I don't feel like, I mean, this is still pretty tame.
I just think it's the language, the curse words, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I don't think I use much worse off air, right? But, like, there are some communities where I grew up in a household where I couldn't say the word sucks until I was, like, 15 years old. Like, I would say stinks because I would be in trouble. So I understand that because Roman probably has, like, fans who are kids. But you're right. I do think there's a balance there without being too squeaky clean, like their Ruthless Aggression era, but then not going back to the Attitude Era.
Attitude Era, a little overrated. I think in hindsight, we polished it up a little bit.
Yeah, I do think. I think the highs are pretty high, but the lows get forgotten. And I always tell people, I remember meat. I remember pepper being eaten. I remember Kettle from Hell. I remember all that stuff, man.
I mean, Peter I tell cleavage. People, you know, you look at the original, you look at the Monday Night Wars documentary, and they're like, oh my God, that original DX promo was amazing. Go back and watch the original DX promo. What they showed you in the Monday Night Wars was the only thing they could show you that has not aged horribly about that promo.
Yeah. This is one of the reasons I don't really mess with X-Pac, if you know what I mean.
Hmm. Interesting.
Although I did one of his shows one time. So there is evidence of me being on Xbox 360 alongside me.
He's nice. He's a very, very nice guy. And it seems like he's recognized
bad behavior. I think he's a lot more self-aware. But I just feel like, we talk about the Attitude Era, I think there was characters we loved. But if we pop in a SmackDown from 1999, there was like, everyone had 90-minute matches, and it was all bad, and Midian was there. And I love Midian, but he should not be a guy that was out there every week, you know?
I mean, I think we can all agree that Ruthless Aggression Era peaked with Scotty Too Hotty doing the worm.
You look fly today.
What else is going on?
Well, I've been informed that a top Canadian legend is going to appear at Raw next week, but I'm a Bret Hart hater, so I don't quite agree. But yes, Bret Hart is going to be at Raw on Monday. Can you believe it? You thought he's bitter. You thought he hated Goldberg, but no, he's going to be in the stands at Monday Night Raw.
I mean, they're in Calgary.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes sense.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Yeah.
I mean, do you think he's going to do anything meaningful?
I think he might like slap someone in the match or something. You know what I mean? But okay. I don't think he's gonna, you know, have an angle.
Yeah, we'll see. Maybe we'll just come out, say F Goldberg, and leave.
Yeah, you know, Goldberg is the worst. and should I move on, or just want to belabor this point some more?
No, it's fine. It's great. Bret Hart. I like Bret a lot, but I mean, let's
most people do, but
let's just have realistic expectations for.
Most people love Bret Hart.
In fact, you know, Wrestling Anchor, some site should do a roundup piece of the top 20 Bret Hart appearances in WWE post the year 2000.
There's more than 20?
Okay, the top five.
I was like, I remember WrestleMania 26 because I was there at that WrestleMania. I had to sit through that match too. I was like, why? But I'm not a hater today. Moving on, the other big story here in the wrestling guys is that Netflix dropped the trailer to the McMahon documentary series, where it looks like there's a lot of footage, archival and sit down interview stuff. So WWE was part of the beginning stages of this. They officially said there's no official involvement between WWE now, TKO Holdings, and the Mr. McMahon documentary, but it's coming, and hopefully we get some more insight about the impresario known as Mr. McMahon.
I mean, I think we can really, as an alternative to both the last news story and this one, just watch Wrestling with Shadows again.
Dropping with Shadows.
Yeah, and Wrestling with Shadows will absolutely give you all you need to know.
I am not defending McMahon here. Obviously,
This isn't a loaded statement.
No. But what I'm saying is, like, can any? I'm thinking because I'm a big nonfiction book junkie, right? Can anyone be seen as a visionary and be seen as a nice person at the same time? I feel like almost like lockstep is always an underside where it's like, hey, you did some stuff. You know what I mean?
I think the issue and the controversy.
Agreed. It's valid.
Clear. But it's not. But it's not like, oh, he screwed over territorial promoters, or he didn't want a union, or like, no, like there's some legitimately. This is not. What I'm saying, Flobo, is I think the Vince McMahon controversy goes beyond to, you know, make a few omelets. You gotta break some eggs.
No, I am not saying that. I'm with you 100%. Yeah. I'm just kind of like, I can't think of any person we exalt as a visionary in the past 100 years who doesn't have that extra layer of like, oh man, like I'm Walt Disney, Steve Jobs. Like it is just a track record of just people with different things. That's all.
Well, how say you, Chad? Who's the most beloved CEO of the last?
I mean,
people say nice things stuff about Mark Cuban, I think.
I mean, yeah, I guess. Maybe. I don't know.
I'm just trying to think, like, who's not.
I was saying he was up there. But even, I was like, Mark Zuckerberg is not up there. Elon Musk isn't there. I know, that's what I'm saying.
Like, everyone in the chat, I know this is a wrestling podcast, shout out your favorite CEOs. Yeah. And business tycoons of the last 100 years. So really, let's say from the Great Depression onward. Like, who can you say, you know, he was a real one? Yeah. And we all like Ben and Jerry.
Oh, here comes all this Nikola Tesla marks. No.
Yeah. Everybody loves Paul Newman and what he did with Newman's Own. You know?
Marks.
Warren Buffett. I mean, Warren Buffett does seem to, but does he run a company or is he just more of an institutional investor?
He cut off his kids very young, remember?
Yeah. No, but I agree with you that when you have massive success, you are going to ruffle feather. I'm not saying that Vince McMahon ruffled some feathers. No, Vince McMahon is a terrible person for myriad reasons that have come to light. But I'm just saying that, you know, Richard Branson, Danny Cochran saying people like Richard Branson.
Sure. Well, sure enough. I like his Virgin America airline. That was kind of cool.
Yeah, that was cool. I enjoyed flying that. I was bummed when that shut down.
Stupid Alaska Airlines.
A lot of people love Alaska. I'm not a big fan of Alaska.
A big fan of Alaska either, but that's a whole other thing. Yeah.
And now they're going to merge with Hawaiian Air.
Just got to buy market share, man.
Oh, it's a shame. Chef Boyardee, as J.R. Smith's pointing out.
I'm actually more of a SpaghettiOs guy, but I get it.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, look, I'm probably here's the thing. I was going to say, I'm probably going to watch the documentary, but I think anything truly revelatory, because it's because of wrestling media, mm-hmm. like Flippo, whenever that drops, four hours later, there's going to be clips all over Twitter.
Yeah.
There's going to be news stories about it. Like, it's the one documentary, actually, you probably don't have to watch.
But I feel like you kind of do have to watch it, because every casual fan doesn't watch wrestling anymore. It's going to be in your DMs and be like, hey, have you seen this? Thoughts? And that's the reason why I want to watch it, just because I got to say something about it, you know?
Or you can just go to Wrestling Inc., who I'm sure will have the recap of all the key points.
It's a damn good site, wrestling.com. Yeah.
I'm a fan.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so what else?
Anything that's
else?
It.
That's it?
Yeah.
That's all?
That's all.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Jack Farm with the Wrestling Podcast, and a few years back, WWE sold a New Day-themed kit where people could make unicorn horn-shaped popsicles. They don't make them anymore, but you can still make your own popsicles, even without the kit, and get top-tier hydration in the process. In these post-SummerSlam dog days, Liquid IV is offering refreshing summer flavors like Popsicle Firecracker and Rainbow Sherbet to keep you cool and give you 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, plus 8 essential vitamins and nutrients. Liquid IV is always non-GMO, vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, and soy-free. Tear, pour, live more. 1 stick and 16 ounces of water hydrates better than water alone. It's great for a road trip to No Mercy or watching All In at home. Indulge in hydration this summer with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code WRESTLE at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code WRESTLE at liquidiv.com.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Let's talk about SmackDown, the final SmackDown. We're leaving for Venus. It's the final SmackDown.
It should be that, like that riff, but like in the original SmackDown theme.
We open tonight hearing from Cody Rhodes. And I like that he just invited Solo out because he knew the Bloodline was going to come interrupt him or attack him. And they you know, called it right. But Solo wants a championship match. Cody invited Jacob Fatu to a championship match. Bloodline gets in the ring. DIY and the Street Profits come out. Nick Aldis says, no. We're going to have Cody versus Solo next week for the title on the first SmackDown back on USA. But there's going to be an 8-man tag later tonight to close the show. What did you think about Cody's promo? And how are you feeling about where the Bloodline stands? Like, Roman's return was short-lived?
Yeah. You're going to see me hear me say filler a lot. Like, I understand the Bloodline 2.0 isn't as beloved as Bloodline 1.0. But the fact that Solo let Cody manipulate him twice by having him come out there and then letting Jacob Fatu walk into the ring, I was like, man, I wish they had something to hold their ground. Because if we're having that Bloodline versus Bloodline match eventually, I want to feel that I could understand both sides. But Solo's looking totally outclassed here, you know?
I mean, I think that he's gaining a little in the gravitas department. But even for Cody to be like, no, not you, Jacob. Mm-hmm. Like, that's kind of...
snap.
Yeah, it's not putting him in the best position as the monster heel head if, like, other people are calling him out, you know?
Right, yeah. That's a shame, too. I actually liked... I like Solo, but I understand if someone's like, look, he has huge shoes to fill. It's not working. I like Solo enough, but I could understand if someone's like, it's not working for me.
Yeah. Cody very over, though. The crowd in Canada loves Cody Rhodes.
The Canadian nightmare.
He could be the Canadian nightmare.
That sounds very pleasant. It's like an apology.
Oh, Canadian sorry. Nightmare.
Yeah. Adrenaline.
Then the first match of the night. We have backstage Tiffany Stratton with Pretty Deadly, which was nice. I guess Pretty Deadly's excited about the USA premiere. Are we finally getting Pretty Deadly the musical next week?
I feel like it's a Rickroll. We got to see it now. Like, I thought it was a joke, but we got to see it. I'm not sure what is it going to be a multi-segment thing? Is it going to be a live chorus line number? I don't know. But
I think they're going to just keep mentioning it for years until Pretty Deadly, like, ultimately splits up or, like, I think they're going to be talking. Like, I'm afraid we're never going to see this.
Like GTV?
Pretty Deadly and Tiffany Stratton, great pairing. Nia Jax came backstage. But then we went to Bayley versus Tiffany Stratton. I love this match. I thought this was very well done. Mm-hmm. Both of them got in a lot of offense. There was a good back and forth. Great in-ring chemistry. Really shows how far Tiffany Stratton has come since her days in NXT. She held her own against one of the greatest. And I think that Nia Jax coming out to intimidate was very, very good. I think Bayley getting the win was the right call. But yeah, I really like this match.
Yeah. You know, I know it's kind of like not as cool as it was a year ago, but I love the little like end of before you go into commercial, the little like hero cards. And I love Bayley's little elbow, which comes on the screen. Pretty cool. I like it. My only gripe is, of course, Bayley is not featured enough in the show. That's because I'm a huge Bayley mark. But the show, the match itself, pretty great. I think the future is great. I was worried or concerned about Tiffany's call-up, but she's proven that she can pass every test.
Secular Belt saying we will see the musical when we see Sami Zayn's documentary.
Wow. I didn't like that, his documentary. Yeah, exactly. It was the conspiracy around me.
It was such a good... Oh, man, Sami Zayn is just gold. But yeah, like... Yeah. Anyhow, Bayley getting the win, right call. This was good. We had a confrontation backstage. Austin Theory and Grayson Waller confronting Kevin Owens.
Owens.
Setting up a triple threat against these guys later in the night. I mean, Waller and Theory do this brand of comedy quite well.
Almost too well.
Too well?
Yeah. You don't really consider them a threat. It was like, you knew it was a foregone conclusion that they're going to have a fight because they're backstage antagonizing people. I get it. Yeah.
Yeah, it made sense. Went right from that into another segment with Legato. Legato. Which is good. What's that?
I felt that them drinking tequila is a bit on the nose. Like, I was hoping it would be like ginger beer or like something random. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I suppose tequila is kind of like, okay, I get it.
I mean, the same company that said Tony D'Angelo has to own an Italian restaurant.
True. Yeah. But they have Wheatley American Vodka, guys. What are we doing?
Yes. Giovanni Vinci made his debut against Apollo Crews, and oh my God, I love this. I feel bad for Giovanni Vinci. But WWE subverted expectations. They built up Giovanni. We know he's an excellent wrestler. They made him look like a cross between Cesaro and Pitbull. But they hyped him up. He came out there, and then Apollo rolled him up and beat him in like 3 seconds flat, which good for Apollo. I was really thought this was an Apollo Crews getting squashed match, and I like they subverted it, but now it's like, oh my God. So is Giovanni Vinci the new, Kurt,
Santino?
Kurt Hawkins, right?
Oh, the 85 match.
Yeah. Like, when's the last time they did? In fact, that's the last time I think they did this big of a buildup. Giovanni Vinci, we've been getting some vignettes for a month.
Yeah, what was the name of that guy in NXT? Like Dan Metha? Was it him? The guy they built up for like 6 months and like Joe came out and destroyed him. We never saw him again. So, what's it, guys? Chat, let me know. There was like a dude they promoted. It wasn't brackets. That was way before.
What year of NXT?
We're talking like before USA. So this is like 2017, 2018. He was like this giant bruiser. I want to say it was like Bartha or Metha or something like that. And they built him up for 6 months, and then Joe just destroyed him, like beat him up, and we never saw him again. And I was like, yo, I want my money back. Oh man, I don't know. Point being, I like this because when Vinci was coming out, I was like, oh, the tracksuit's very Italian, but you're selling me this like high life, almost Alberto Del Rio, not saying exactly, but that's kind of high life character. This will look like you just came off like, you know, the street. Like, this is like a total mismatch. But then having Apollo Crews get the win, because I'm an Apollo Crews fan, was great. And then Vinci going, well, what's going on? It was also cool too. So I love this subversion there.
Yeah, this was, I was
Dan Matha. That's what it was. I was like, dude, he got his ass kicked.
No, I was giddy to have my expectations subverted in this way. It was very fun. This was a very fun match. But Giovanni Vinci, like, is this like an Emelina thing? Like, what's going on?
I would suck if it was Emelina thing. I like him doing that rich thing, right? Like, I love the whole, like, I know it's kind of a very common archetype, very evolution. But we don't really have that here in that brand, heel or face. Mm. You want some of the kids to dress up to school and be like, I'm not saying he's a rock, but when
I don't think they want to dress up and be like him.
But you know what I'm saying? Yeah, exactly. Coming out in his like cheap Gucci stuff and getting his butt kicked. You don't want that. But the idea of a rich character is always a fun thing to play around with.
It's true. And I don't think the kids today aspire towards wealth enough anymore.
I think looking fly is universal. I wouldn't know though. I wear the same clothes every day. But,
like Steve Jobs.
Yeah, exactly, man. Another visionary. People hated. But I liked it. And I'm a Balakus fan. I liked it. I love every part about this.
Yeah. But this was cool. This was A+ in my book. Although I'm trying to think, not call-ups, because call-ups are a bit of a different animal. But of vignettes like this, I'm trying to think of it, because this is a short list. You could probably count on one hand in the last 10 years. Anyone that got this sort of hype, weeks of vignettes and lost their debut match.
Yeah, losing debuts are so rare as it is.
You know, call-ups, I mean, it happens more often.
Call-ups, yeah, because I mean, also, or worse, you called me and disappeared. I mean,
yeah,
like what? Not Kayla Inlay. What's her name? Cameron James. What she's?
Oh, Cameron Grimes. Yeah,
to the moon. But yeah, like when you get that debut, is your chance to really show what you can do.
Yeah. Chelsea Green and Piper Niven were arguing backstage with Nick Aldis. Meechin walked in, got into a confrontation, setting up a match.
Cool. I like it. Meechin, man. Just I'm not sure if she's an official free agent, but she is definitely going between Tuesday and Friday nights. No one can stop her. She's the beast.
No. Oh, it's funny. We're going to talk about the Kevin Owens and Austin Theory versus Grayson Waller match. But when Austin and Grayson Waller walked up to Kevin Owens in that segment before their exchange, when they said Nicholas, I was like, they brought Nicholas back for the finale on SmackDown. I was so excited for him. I was like, oh, they're talking Nick Aldis. Okay.
That'd be such a deep cut that I don't think anyone remembers.
Everybody remembers Nicholas.
I just remember Cole being like, yeah, he had a four for the title because he had school.
Yeah. But when you say Nicholas, that has weight in the WWE universe.
True. Tag team champ.
Yeah. So this match, Kevin Owens versus Austin Theory versus Grayson Waller. Here's what I don't get. Austin and Grayson did not want to wrestle Kevin Owens. Mm-hmm. Kevin Owens beat them up quite a bit during this match. Why didn't one of them just lay down for the other to end this match?
Oh, wow. I mean, yeah, you can, but that would be the lamest match ever.
but it would be in character, though, that let me just punch up this match a little bit. That would have been better if they were arguing over who should pin who, and Kevin Owens just stood there and he was like, you guys figure it out.
Well, I think, I hate to add on story because wrestling fans are worse at that, or copium, right? But I guess the whole long-term thing between them was like, who is really the leader of that group?
Why it would have been funny. And you could have gotten 5 minutes of them arguing in the ring and saying, you know, making arguments over for who should lay down for who.
Okay. Yeah, I get that. No, you're right. I would have popped at that if that would have happened.
Yeah, because as it was, this just didn't really make sense. And yes, Secular pointing out, as Kevin Owens said backstage, they're stupid. But it just didn't make sense to me that like they could have ended this at any time.
Yeah.
There were no stakes really in this.
No, they're the support jesters of SmackDown. And it's good for them. They don't need the title. I'm not sure why they're a tag team still yet. But if this is going to be one of the things they use in the promo package when they break up, then...
Well, and then here's the other thing I don't get is then after the match, they both team up and attack Owens.
They lost the match. I'll be mad too.
No, but
Glenn,
they could have both teamed up. The logic of this match is stretching a little bit. That's all.
A triple threat match involving a tag team has low logic to begin with. Yeah. you gotta roll with it, man. Do you watch Fast and Furious movies? Like this makes no sense. The dynamics and physics are way off.
Okay, maybe that part, but the story of Fast and the Furious is airtight. I mean, the story.
No, it is not. They went to space in the ninth one. The space. Yeah,
but
they don't have to
really do that. Stop. Elon Musk proved it. You don't need NASA to go to space.
Oh,
you just need some good old ingenuity.
Oh yeah, elbow grease
and rocket fuel.
Space.
Everybody's going to space.
When Tyrese had a Lambo on ice, I was like, this is the most dumbest. And I love the movies. This is the most dumbest thing to stop a Russian submarine that Charlize Theron somehow hacked to activate. And I go, I can't even explain the eighth plot. This is so weird.
It is. Anyhow.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy.
So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Let's talk about what happened after this match, which was hearing from LA Knight. Yeah. Before that, we had a video package for Andrade versus Carmelo in the series they've been having, trading wins. Mm-hmm. And then LNA came to the ring, started to talk to the crowd, and wouldn't you know it, he gets interrupted by Andrade and Carmelo.
I worry about LA Knight. Like, I like this. I like the fact that Carmelo and Andrade are in this feud, and obviously the one who wins this will be in prime position to be the number one contender for the IC champions. But when people talk about becoming bored of a character, this is what you need. Like, you don't need someone coming down. You do need it. But when LA Knight came out, it was like, yeah, man, I've been beating people up, and it sure is nice being a champ. And I was like, oh, that's boring. There's no way to make that fun at all. You know what I mean? Like, I kind of wish this happened backstage. So if I see LA Knight backstage, like, eating catering, and this happened, I'm like, cool. But him having the whole, like, Edmonton, I'm your U.S. champ, I was like, man.
And it's one, I appreciate Andrade speaking Spanish. It reminded me to do my Duolingo for today. But solid choice having Andrade speak Spanish in Canada, where, like, French is mandated in school.
Okay. Yeah.
LA Knight, they didn't know what he was talking about.
Fair enough. Yeah. I'm over Preply guy, but Duolingo's the OG. That bird, though, if you skip a day, it comes after you.
I had like a 450-day streak before I missed today. Yeah, but they credited me. They gave me like a streak freeze, so I didn't lose my streak.
Wait, then what was the point then?
I know. And I was disappointed too, because I was just like busy one evening and like I forgot. It's because I left the house, Flobo. That'll teach me.
You got to explain this to me, because this is something, because my streak was like 2 days. So you went over a year, You missed a day, and they gave you a mulligan.
You earn streak freezes. So I don't get credit for the day I missed, but I get to pick it up the next day. It lets me keep for vanity purposes and posterity my streak. But I legitimately, and then one day I missed, but the second day I missed was just a couple weeks ago when I was in New York, and that's because the time difference messed with me.
This is like winning the greatest Royal Rumble. This is a sham, Glenn. A sham.
It's as credible as world's greatest grandpa. Yeah, it's weird. Anyhow, good promo. What's the end game with these guys?
Well, we haven't seen a best of five or best of seven in years. And Carmelo really has nothing to do because he is a heel that has to build against someone, but there's no one at his level that can fight him. Andrade cannot be assigned to another lucha person. So, yeah, I would make this a best of seven, really. And LA Knight, after being Logan Paul, which I don't think was supposed to happen, has to have an opponent because he doesn't have anyone in his division. So I get it. It serves everybody.
Yeah.
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 Hold on. Danny Cochran says LA Knight's overrated. Who? Oh. What do you mean, Danny Cochran, Fire Pro Wrestling in Indiana? What do you mean? Talk to me.
He needs to get something new, and this hitting and quit it thing is already old. And also, he's taking something that 30 years ago, 35 years ago, was said a lot in a much different context.
You mean like smash him?
This is a little more specific. but yeah, it's he just needs to change it up more. That's all.
Change what up?
More catchphrases.
If the crowd loves him.
I know.
I think the last remix kind of killed him. The Rock remix of his theme song isn't really as cool. It's kind of like, I want that. I want to see you dance. Ow! But like, what can he possibly do? LA Knight's a finished product. He's been doing that for like 10 years.
He's just becoming a soundboard.
But I'm saying Eli Drake was a sound. Like, it hadn't changed. It's like you're saying, you know, Adam Cole needs something. Maybe less bebes. I don't know.
Haircut?
Yeah. Haircut. Shaved head.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. Let's talk about Chelsea Green versus Meechin Mia Yim.
No.
You don't like this?
I'm just kidding. I like this one. It was fun. Chelsea Green goes Tuesday, gets knocked out, gets her win back. And I had this in my notes because we're doing the... So the show was great. The match was great. As a fan, I'd probably be like, great. But because this is a Wrestling Inc., I have to talk about stuff. I go, Having Chelsea show up on Tuesday and getting punched and having her win today, Chelsea Green is being held warm, but for what? I don't understand. Is it going to be a tag team run, a solo run, just being the Dolph Ziggler of women's wrestling right now?
I don't know. But if Meech and Mia Yim can't even beat Chelsea, like, Mia needs some wins.
Does she, though? I mean, the OC is pretty much a husk of its former self.
Here's my campaign as we go into 2024. Mia Yim needs some Mia wins.
Okay. You know what? I'll bite, Glenn. What is you, the whole thing about you not embracing the Meechin moniker? You're always like, Meechin Patooey. I'm all about Mia Yim. Why?
They were having it both ways for a while. Mm-hmm. Like, she was Mia Yim.
Right.
And then she was Meechin. And then they were like, now she's Meechin Mia Yim. Now she's Meechin. Look, here's the thing. In my mind and in my heart, he will always be John Cougar Mellencamp. I don't care if he started as Johnny Cougar and then he was John Cougar Mellencamp and now he's John Mellencamp. JCM is JCM for as long as I'm walking this earth.
Wow. Yeah. He's always Cesaro to me. I get it.
So, but Mia Yim, always solid in the ring, incredibly underrated as a talent, workhorse of the Raw, SmackDown, and NXT women's divisions.
Then you should know, workhorses don't win. They don't.
She, low-key, though, like, she's due.
Sure, but sometimes you don't get it both ways. Like, to be a star, there has to be some level of scarcity to you. Even mm-hmm. Roman Reigns or Cody Rhodes doesn't wrestle every week. But if you're a workhorse and you're on different brands, you're busting your butt, you'll be seen as fodder for a show. I mean, you can't do both.
But until you put her in the right program, give her the right story.
You know what? I'm going to challenge you on that, because as long as Mia Yim's been in here, she's been in stories. She was by herself. She got the Mae Young Classic backstory with her coming up at Fontana. She was in Retribution. She was in the OC. They got opportunities for her, man.
She was around stories, but she wasn't in stories. There was no Mia Yim story. I want to know, what's Mia Yim's motivation? What's she there to do?
She's a blazing baddie. Her words, not mine.
And that's good. Let's lean into that. See, if they put some of the on Twitter, she's a great example of a wrestling talent that on Twitter is the complete package. Has got a character, has got attitude, has got drive. And then they put her in matches, but she's not even getting to do promos half the time.
Yeah.
You know?
So this is what I tell people, because it's always like chicken or the egg, right? Someone you love doesn't get opportunities. You're like, well, I want them to get opportunities, but it never feature a lot. You got to do things like tag her, buy the merch, chant mm-hmm. her name. And I'm not saying it's her fault, but that whole exchange she had with Jada Parker a month ago, the crowd was firmly for Jada. And before that, when she was fighting on behalf of the OC, the crowd was always firmly for either the Good Brothers or the opponents. And I'm like, well, if you want her to do that, you have to cheer for her so people know, she needs more stuff.
They just need to come up with a storyline. Okay, put her in it and commit to it.
But what about Chelsea Green is my question, man.
Love Chelsea. Although, ballsy putting Chelsea and Tiffany Stratton on the same brand.
How's that ballsy? They're two different characters.
Are they?
Yeah.
Explain to me the differences between Chelsea Green and Tiffany.
You're Stephanie. Thinking about NXT Tiffany with her daddy. Now she's just a buff Barbie who's easy to please people, right? But Chelsea Green is a Karen who complains a lot and is never satisfied and thinks everyone's out to get her. She's a paranoid glamour model who should get beat because she thinks life is unfair, but it totally has been more than fair to her.
And you don't think Tiffany Stratton shares the same DNA?
NXT Tiffany Stratton did.
You don't think on the main roster she does?
Pre-Becky Lynch she did. The whole daddy, whatever, whatever. This stuff now is kind of like, she's just very athletic. She's a buff Barbie. She's I won't compare to Jay Cargill, but she's like that. She's a palette swap. She's like, I'm a specimen, and I love pink.
What's her worldview?
Her worldview is that, I train really hard, and I'm very confident in my moonsault and my looks, and if you come in the ring with me, I will make sure you have a bad time. Whereas Chelsea Green's worldview is, why is everyone holding me back for me to achieve? I'm not winning matches because no one likes me. Nick Aldis is out to get me, which is kind of different.
Huh. Who do you think they're each voting for? No, never mind.
Adam Pearce, of course. Not
yeah. No, I think there's some similarities. I just think that it's keeping them separated will actually allow them to seem more different. I think having them on the same roster actually creates more sameness. It's a good thing Tiffany has that Money in the Bank briefcase because that gives her something. But I'm just saying, like, WWE, I think, is wise to keep art. I'm saying archetypes, like broad character definitions.
Oh, if you're saying archetypes, and yeah, I think WWE's been very clear. Like, you look at NXT as the most egregious example, and I don't want to discredit her, but Kalani Jordan's rise totally coincided with Sol Ruka's original injury, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, that's totally going to be baked in. But as it is in the main roster, I don't see the character, the fictional character of Nia Jax, hanging out with Chelsea Green. I see her hanging out with Tiffany Stratton, because Tiffany Stratton's a little bit more snivelly or whatever. You know, mm-hmm. Snively? Snively.
So, Chelsea Green won that match. We could
she sure did.
Deeper. I would love, Flobo, you should do an explainer video where you take two similar characters and try and make an argument that they're two completely different.
Sometimes I get wrong. Sometimes there are people who are just like, that's the same. That's why I don't like Grayson Waller with Austin Theory, because besides the accent, they're like, why are these guys together? And Grayson's a lot more charismatic.
Yes. The Bloodline versus the Street Profits and DIY was the main event tonight, an 8-man tag match.
Why?
Don't know.
Okay, so the Bloodline needs some unified fronts. They got the win. The Street Profits haven't been champs in 3 years. I know why they're in the mix. I am not sold on SmackDown DIY. I'm not sold on main roster DIY. Here's a group that we love so much, but it's been stripped of anything that made them different. They just seem like undersized guys who like being loud dressed and stuff. So it was kind of weird to see everyone decide to be on the same side. But hey, look, the match itself was great. Good way to end a week after a long week at work. Kick back with your favorite beverage, watch the match, but it's definitely not going to be an all-timer.
This was fun. I mean, they were really hyping up next week, Solo and Cody Steel Cage.
Yeah.
That'll be exciting.
Here's a question. Would you rather have swapped the 8-man tag for the Chelsea Green and Meechan match if Meechan got a story afterwards?
Yes.
Would you have the SmackDown end the show, Meechan be like, you know what? My journey starts next week.
I actually think Bayley versus Tiffany Stratton should have been invented, because that was for the first time ever. It was a big deal.
Fair. I'll give you that.
I think anytime a talent of Bayley stature and then Miss Money in the Bank, like, I think that was a main event match.
I'm with you. I feel like someone was afraid. Not afraid. I feel like someone said, hey, Bloodline, the brand, should main event every show.
I know.
But you're right. I think as far as like the expression of the wrestling arts and sciences, definitely Bayley versus Tiffany Stratton.
Well, that's the thing. It's like Bloodline, the brand, but this is franchise Bloodline, not actual Bloodline. Mm-hmm. This is Gallagher 2, not the actual Gallagher. So if you want to watch Gallagher's brother smash some watermelons,
yeah,
that's what baby Bloodline is.
That is that's a deep cut, like, even for comedian fans.
Everybody knows the Gallagher's brother.
Not Gallagher 2. Or, no.
Everybody knows Gallagher 2.
Everyone remembers Gallagher.
Everyone knows that, you know, if you saw Gallagher live as a child, you might have seen Gallagher 2 if you did not live in a major market.
True, but I think that's a very, that's being a wizened up. You got to be a smark to understand Gallagher 2.
Yeah. Actually, the whole franchise, I mean, but this is the same idea. It's very franchise, though, you know?
Yeah.
But no, Bloodline 1, it was fine. I like DIY. I like the Street Profits. But
why do you like DIY? I honestly mean this, because look, Johnny Gargano, Tommaso Ciampa, some of the best storytelling in NXT. I love R-Truth calling on Triple H and Shawn Michaels. But on SmackDown, I just feel like they're just as generic as it can possibly be. What say you?
They were part of the Black and Gold Indie Revolution in NXT. Their one-on-one matches against each other in NXT were phenomenal.
6 years Ciampa, ago.
Yeah, Ciampa was an amazing heel.
6 years ago.
I know. I think that they held down NXT. The Way was great.
Yeah, I hear that.
Ciampa, you know, passing over the Don of NXT moniker, Tony D'Angelo, was great. They've never been used well on the main roster, but I like these guys. I mean, it's kind of like the OC. Gallus and Anderson are incredibly funny, engaging individuals. People constantly praise them as some of the best, most creative minds in the business, but it's like, man, they just get booked poorly time and time again.
Sure. I mean, I don't consider them funny, but you're not wrong. I just don't know what's missing from DIY.
Well, you don't think Southpaw Regional Wrestling, you don't think that was a hoot?
No, Southpaw was great, but I feel like
that was based on a lot of their stuff.
Absolutely, absolutely. But I feel like them backstage being like, nerd, it's like,
Yeah, that's, I mean.
I actually had a Southpaw shirt from Shop Zone. Remember Shop
I got,
Zone?
I got a mug.
It's a deep cut, remember Shop Zone. Okay, so but again, my question with DIY is, because now you have this brand, you have this roster, you have a tag team division. These guys are going to be your number one contender, whether you like them or not, but I don't want to see them win. Huge baby faces. But I have no desire to see Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano be tag team champs. Why?
I feel like this is why. Okay, so people have overly praised the Triple H era, and there's been a lot of prisoner of the moment in this. I get that we all felt great about WrestleMania, The Rock being back. Yes, that was great. Cody versus Roman, that was phenomenal. The build, the payoff, we had a lot of good matches going into Mania. But it's like at the same time, they've got a lot of great talent that the fans have a lot of affection for. And they're just not. I mean, tonight, creatively, the booking of tonight was like a C.
Well, they're on fire right now. I say this. Everyone has a problem year two when they're booking someone. And Tony Khan's going through that now. Or now he's in year five. But you get what I'm saying. And I think I like Triple H era. I think it's great. I see some problems with comedy. I see some problems with kids content that was going to be a problem later on. I like what they're doing. I just wonder, you have a division and half the teams we saw today, or all the teams we saw today, half the division, I have no desire to see them as champions, even though they should be.
And it's tough following up the Bloodline storyline, which did peak with Sami Zayn. But it's tough following up the Bloodline. It's tough following up a lot of the stuff that they've done that was so good. I think that I see glimmers of hope. And this is the thing. It's like, it's better now than it was under Vince. I like a lot of the talents involved. I'm happy to see them on my TV, but I still don't feel like this is being written by TV writers. And what I mean by that is that while the creative is better, I still don't think that aside from building towards WrestleMania and SummerSlam and the big pay-per-views, I don't feel like they understand yet how to do compelling week in and week out TV that moves along a larger narrative arc, but is still entertaining. Yeah. Week in and week out. When Roman comes back with Jimmy and Jay and Sammy and they take on Baby Bloodline versus OG Bloodline, that's going to be incredible. When The Rock comes back and faces Roman, that's going to be incredible. But until we get there, like, look, The Wire opened every season super strong and finished every season super strong, but they also made me care, swerved me, and had me invested in all 11 episodes in between that opener and finale each year.
Yeah, I think one of the weaknesses or strengths or weaknesses of the Vince era was that he had a habit of ripping up storylines midway. Yeah, things got dropped, but if something wasn't working, they were quick to pivot. I think now where stories have beginnings and ends, they're great, but now we're most fans are thinking about WrestleMania to WrestleMania, not month to month, not show to show. And then you have nights like this where, yeah, after a long, hard day of work, I want to sit there and watch our school. I want to watch SmackDown and have a good time. But if you're watching SmackDown for, I'm going to watch my stories, there ain't much on that bone. And I don't know if that's because of Triple H or if they saw what AEW was doing 3 years ago and go, we need more sports-based stuff. Let's put the storylines to the wayside. But we're seeing a little bit of that conglomeration, no pun intended, now.
Which I think is still a mistake. If I want to watch sports, I'll watch actual sports. They own a legitimate shoot-fighting promotion, TKO with UFC.
Yeah. But
fake sports ain't good TV.
It isn't, because I mean, to use AEW's example, the sports-based promotions blew up a house this week. That's fun. Blow up more houses, guys.
Well, that was SmackDown tonight.
Oh, come on. Ring the bell.
No, it's good, dude. It's good. I don't think there's much more to be said. It's the end of an era. I advocated on Twitter, Kofi Kingston should have woke up in bed clutching the WWE championship, turned to Big E and Xavier and said, you won't believe the dream I just had. And that should have been the end of SmackDown on Fox.
That would have been golden. That would get WWE their first Emmy. You know what though? I was in the crowd when Kofi lost that match. And Kofi lost that match, had to roll out to the ring because Kane Velasquez showed up and it ended. And Justin Roberts, Greg Hamilton was like, thanks for coming, good night. And the lights went on. And Kofi never got the struggle to your feet. Thank you, Kofi. I thought that was so embarrassing. This guy carried a company for 6 months. At least give him that. But yeah, I'm so glad that that part was over. 5 years, good run on Fox. Time to go on.
But you could tell, like, somewhere along the way, Fox didn't care, so WWE matched their apathy.
No, yeah, if you're Fox, you're like, oh, this big hulking guy needs to win. Brock win the match wasn't scary. It was 8 seconds, meaning the current champ didn't put his hands up. I'm like, what? No, and then Cain Velasquez came out.
Basically, ever this year, everything WWE did on Fox was to the extent that it served their larger goals with building the Rumble, building WrestleMania, building SummerSlam. Aside from that, I feel like they've been saving it. It's kind of the same thing we're talking about with NXT. NXT's saving a lot of their powder for CW. Like, I hope that's the case. By the way, when I say that, if that's not the case, they're in much bigger trouble. When I say that, and again, I'm a big fan of NXT, big fan of SmackDown. But if they're not sitting on good stuff that they're just waiting to do until, you know, they get to the fireworks factory on USA, if they're not saving good stuff for USA and CW, they got bigger problems.
Absolutely. I have to go now. My plan needs me.
Yes. Okay. Follow Flobo at Flobo Boys. I'm Eklund Rubenstein. Everybody, what's going on this weekend?
I got work tomorrow. That's not much going on. I know it's All Out, but I'm not.
Yeah, that's right.
Jack Farmer, oh, Ellie May. Yes.
Let's hype that quickly. This weekend.
Let's hype this.
Let's hype this. I forgot about this. I apologize. This week, tomorrow night, Jack Farmer and Emily May go live immediately following AEW's All Out to break down all the action.
Yeah.
Exciting.
Emily May, fresh off a trip of both London and Berlin covering wrestling over there, is back here to bring about All Out. And Jack Farmer, he's, you know, nice hair.
America's sweetheart.
I mean, I don't like him. Most people do.
Hmm. I understand. You're going to become a rancher just to spite him?
Oh, yeah. Ranchers are superior.
Okay, everybody. Have a great weekend. Enjoy All Out tomorrow. We'll catch you back here next week. I'll be here Tuesday for NXT, everybody.
Yes, boy.
See you then.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.